for long. He never brushed his teeth when he was a kid.
Is he just all gums?
He never brushed his teeth as a kid. It's only a matter of time until they all come out. Mm. Be raining teeth.
You really need to floss.
I do now.
Please.
Now. Yeah, tell that to the tooth that's gone.
That's right. Did the tooth fairy come?
No.
No?
If she did, she'd probably charge me money at this point.
Hey, welcome back to Even More Mashed Up. It is a podcast where we do a convoy cross-country exploration of pop culture. I'm Alan.
I'm Patrick, and I have no idea what just happened.
Like a truck convoy. Like you get in a the breaker.
Convoy.
Breaker, big buddy.
Yeah, I'm just not sure. You know?
But we're neither driving on radios.
And we're also
in a
trailer park, not convoy park.
But the trailers.
No, trailer, not trailers.
Aren't the kind of trailer we're talking? Are you talking about a trailer park like where people live in their RVs? Or are you talking about a tractor trailer?
No,
because when you go honk honk beep beep, that's a tractor trailer.
No, it's a tractor trailer dropping off the trailer park RV, or it's an RV parking.
I don't think RVs make those noises.
Anyways, today's episode is trailer park.
You want to mention your name?
Actually, I did. I said I'm Patrick, and I have no idea what just happened.
I mean, I don't listen to
I missed
talk.
That part.
Oh, Jesus. Richard's here, too. Well, most of Richard is here.
Yeah.
The rest of me is in the garbage dump, I guess.
You threw the tooth away?
Yes.
Yeah.
For those of you just joining us, Richard has lost a tooth.
Yes.
Like, front tooth.
At his age, probably not a good time to lose a tooth.
I know what Richard wants for Christmas. All he wants for Christmas.
A full-time position?
Is his two front teeth.
That's right.
His two front
teeth. No, I have the two front teeth.
Two front teeth. You know what? Don't ruin the joke.
That's right.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth, so I can wish you Merry Christmas.
Wait, why does she need front teeth to do that?
I don't know.
I think if you don't have your front teeth, it's really hard to whistle.
Yeah, or it's hard to say Christmas.
Christmas. It was supposed to be
I guess you stick your tongue out when you say it. Yeah,
I don't,
it's very difficult.
It doesn't. You know what? I didn't write the song.
That's right. We're just singers, not writers.
Anywho.
So, Trailer Park.
Trailer Park.
Did you make your noises?
I did, yes.
Beep beep.
Okay. Hey, guess what I've got?
Numbers.
Numbers. I've got new numbers.
What do you mean new numbers?
I found a
new
batch of numbers
every week.
No. These are new numbers. These are numbers that I have not done before.
Did you just call them nude numbers?
So a new
numbers.
Type of number.
A new kind of number. Yes.
A new kind. Is it still from Box Office Mojo?
No.
Wow. Are they going to be jealous that you've gone to another website?
I don't know. We'll see. Research. So, anyways. So first off, can you guess?
Yes, I can.
What movie trailer? As of February 7th, 2018,
that would be about a week ago,
had the most views in its first 24-hour period.
Black
Panther. The previous record holder was It.
Black Panther.
Deadpool.
Not Black Panther.
Deadpool?
Not Deadpool.
It can't be Solo.
Nope.
Skyscraper?
Nope.
Quit repeating after me. I have no idea who.
Well, I didn't say it was one we're actually talking about.
Twilight didn't come out.
What
is Infinity
it?
War.
Oh.
Avengers Infinity War with 230 million views, breaking the previous record of 197.
Is there an Infinity War out?
It's coming out in May. Ooh, and they just released the Lego sets, or pictures of the Lego sets.
I don't really.
I'm very excited. One of them is like a full-size Sanctum Sanctorum.
I kind of like the Sanctum
Sanctorum. Like it's like a fold-out open
Don't you
building.
Already have that?
That's just like a room in it.
You have like the mini.
This is one that's actually like the actual building.
That's pretty awesome.
So wait, it's bigger than your house?
And then the other, not that big. And then the other one, the
like,
another
is it
one apparently, apparently is like a giant Hulkbuster.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Very excited for those sets.
How come Lego doesn't build full-size homes? Because we know people who would buy them.
I'd buy them in a second.
Right?
You would be able to live in them.
Yeah. No, I mean literally live in it. Why not?
Oh, just think, I'd have tons of places to put my Legos because they'd all stick to the walls.
That's
It'd be wonderful.
Potentially true.
Yeah. But
Effect
that is not the new
integrity.
Numbers
that's
that
not,
I have.
That's not the new numbers?
No. So comicbook.com.
Oh, yeah. I like comic book.
Has something they call a, quote, user anticipation rating, which is apparently a measure of what movies their users are anticipating.
I had no idea.
You know.
It's called the user anticipation rating?
So it's a rating of what movies their users are anticipating. So it's on a 5-point scale.
So they just ask them all to, like, vote?
Yes. And they give it a rating of one between 1 and
that
5 of how much they are anticipating this
completely
movie.
Completely unscientific.
It is. So guess what the most anticipated movie is?
Black Panther.
No.
Infinity War?
No.
Infinity War?
There you go. at 4.41.
That's it?
That's the highest there is.
It didn't get over a 4 point. Like, it barely got over 4.5?
It's below 4.5.
I thought it was 4.51.
4.1.
It's below 4.5?
Black Panther is 4.18.
Boy, they've got some very critical.
Do you want to guess what the highest of the movies we're talking about is?
Deadpool?
Which one is the most anticipated?
Solo.
Nope.
Solo, yeah.
Once again, you should listen to Rich.
Deadpool.
Yes.
Fallen Kingdom.
No.
What?
Ant-Man and Wasp?
No, I said you should listen to Rich and said it was Deadpool. Why are you still guessing which one's number one?
I don't know. I just felt like I should keep guessing.
So, yeah, Deadpool is at 4.14.
I am completely listening to you. Go
on. Ant-Man and the Wasp is next at 3.98. Then Solo. Then Jurassic World. Then Mission Impossible.
Whoa.
And then Skyscraper.
I would say
but here's the funny bit.
Yeah.
So Skyscraper comes in at 2.78. They literally have on here untitled Marvel Studios film 1, film 2, and film 3, all of which are more anticipated than Skyscraper, and
that's 'cause there's a mystery
more anticipated than Suicide Squad 2 and the new Tomb Raider, which comes out March 16th.
I am totally in on the new Tomb Raider.
We should do Tomb Raider for our Women's History Month.
I totally agree.
Well, it's based off the new video game character.
Yeah, Laura Bobby Croft.
The new video game character that's existed since like the 90s.
Well, but it's essentially like they've changed so much, it's essentially a different character.
It's like a reboot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a complete reboot from who's her face?
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Vicky loves the lead actor.
Oh yeah, Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, like Vicky says she's spectacular.
Yeah, she won an Oscar for something.
Like she's actually
for
she's
something.
Actually talented.
Yeah.
So I am super excited for Tomb Raider. I've never played the game. I've never cared for the concept.
The new
but,
game.
Oh, but have you watched the have you watched the Clueless Gamer with Conan O'Brien where he plays the Tomb Raider game?
Oh no. Yes,
you should totally watch
the new one.
It is hilarious.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to think who is he playing it with.
Oh, I forget the guy's name.
Because it's not – I guess he's just playing it with he's just playing it with his usual sidekick guy, but you should watch it. It's hilarious.
I could do that. I'll get it in my notes.
So on today's Trailer Park, we're talking Solo, Deadpool.
Wait, by ourselves?
Ant-Man and Wasp and Jurassic World, possibly some other things.
Skyscraper, Mission Impossible, Fallout.
If we get to them.
Oh, we're getting there.
All right, so where do we want to start?
Well, you told me we're going to start with Solo.
All right.
A Star Wars story.
Yes.
I have to say – as trailers go, this one didn't get me really fired up. I would expect
that seems to be a fair like some of the a lot of the buzz I saw online were a lot of people saying that it was a fairly bland trailer.
To me, the user anticipation score ought to be off the charts for this, which is why I was saying it. Like less than 4.5 is surprising to me.
Yeah, Solo is at 3.78. It's not great, but I mean the movie's been mired in a bit of controversy in that you originally had the Lego Movie guys doing it. And they were fired for creative differences.
So when you fire people for creative differences, it suggests problems.
About 6 months into filming. And apparently, I did some research.
When
apparently,
done good movies before.
The directors, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, they were doing the film as a comedy, whereas the studio more wanted comedic elements added to kind of the standard Star Wars space fantasy.
Right.
And then also, according to Entertainment Weekly's Anthony Bresnikan, the studio felt that the directors were letting too much of the dialogue be improv'd, and so they felt they were losing kind of track or control of the story. So they brought in Ron Howard, who of course I think will make a perfectly decent, competent film.
That's what he does, right?
That's what he does.
He makes decent and competent films.
What's the most recent one he's made?
Apollo 13.
I don't think that's the most. I mean, that's literally the exact same way I was like Apollo 13, which
really?
Is a perfectly good movie.
I don't know.
He's
what
probably
that,
done something
sure
more
done
recent
something
than that.
Since then.
That's why I was trying to think of anything
more recent than that.
Yeah. He's a heavy duty guy in Hollywood, but he's not one that really excites me.
Yeah, he's not one that I'm not expecting something really like in terms of direction and like earth shattering. It'll be a fairly straightforward, I would imagine, film. But that's the thing. Like, there's nothing about anything attached to the film that makes it seem like it's not going to be anything but a fairly standard Star Wars movie. And then it also raises the question of whether or not we really need a Han Solo origin story?
We don't.
I think that's a fair question.
Because we know that, you know, do we really care what he was like as, you know, early 20s? You know, we know that he's going to get the Millennium Falcon. We're going to know he's going to become a smuggler. He's going to cross paths with Luke and Obi-Wan.
It's just, here's the thing.
And the rest is...
Do we know that he crossed paths with Luke and Obi-Wan before?
Well, yeah, in Star Wars. No, I meant in the original Star Wars movie.
Right.
We know that is going to happen.
Right.
I mean, like, they met sometime before.
Yeah. This is why I generally don't like prequels.
Yeah.
Like, prequels just generally don't work for me.
Well, it raises the question of, like, what is this prequel going to add...
Right.
To Solo.
Right.
I mean, he'll meet Chewbacca, which I guess is kind of neat.
I don't know if that's
but
true, because from
neat?
The trailer,
really?
It looks like he and Chewbacca are already hanging out together.
Well, flashbacks.
So now
flashbacks
I thought you would be
in a prequel.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's what we need.
Now, I thought you would be excited.
Yes.
Because, Richard, because one the theories based on the trailer, because it shows, like, Han going to the Imperial Academy as part of a pilot, because apparently that was part
of a pilot?
Are trying training to become a pilot.
Luckily, he's not training to become, you know, an English
because
teacher.
Because Han being a trainee at the Imperial Academy as
a
pilot.
At the what academy?
The Imperial Academy is part of a trilogy of Han Solo novels in the now-defunct extended universe.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. I know the origin story already because I read the books.
Yes.
I have questions about that down the road, too.
So, I thought that would make you happy, and yet Richard does not seem happy.
Well, because it's already happened. Like, I've already read it.
But
it
didn't happen because that's no longer official.
They can say what they want.
So it happened,
it's irrelevant.
It didn't happen.
And yet they're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Which seems like it did happen.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So, you know, like, I mean, I'll obviously – the other thing, too, is based on the trailer – the guy, Aiden Ehrenreich?
Yes.
Or Alden. Alden Ehrenreich. He doesn't really strike me as very Han Solo-ish.
That's where I want to go next. Because to me, like, it's always fun to watch the Millennium Falcon kind of fly around in space. But beyond that, like,
it's awesome.
For me, Han Solo, like, maybe Ehrenreich will kind of grow on me when I see the film.
Right.
But number one, for a film that's called Solo.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people in it.
There was surprisingly little Han Solo personality in it.
Yeah.
It feels to me like... if Solo's going to work as a film, it works because you get that Devil May Care Han Solo kind of character,
right.
That, you know, that ethos in
right.
the film. And the trailer had none of that
yeah.
for me.
Well,
it,
I
just,
think,
it just didn't have any of the attitude
yeah. well,
that
I think
ought
back
come with
to,
Solo.
Yeah, that's the only
know,
thing that would ever
you,
bring me to the film.
Yeah, I think back to Ewan McGregor, his Obi-Wan in the prequels,
yeah.
which was clearly very much based on sort of, like, you felt he was doing Alec Guinness's Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like Ehrenreich is doing young Harrison Ford.
And I'm okay with that in a way, but it's got to have the Solo attitude.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. Oh, quick timeout. Hope does have a pop culture update for today.
Oh, jeez.
I have nothing. Sorry. It's been a not crazy week with that stuff. You can just say that nothing is totally happening.
Well, I'm glad we took a break from the show for that.
I don't know.
Because now,
like,
I'm totally out of my rhythm, and
felt
I,
like
really, I was really sliding into a sweet spot there.
Felt like it elevated the show to me.
Not really.
So, right, so I've got a bunch of questions.
Okay.
Can a dragon queen transfer to a space opera?
Well, she's already been in the Terminator movies, so she's kind of halfway there.
All right, so you're okay with that?
Totally fine with that.
Do you like – here's a question I thought you would really wrestle with. Do you like the fresher-looking Millennium Falcon?
I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah?
I'm curious how – because apparently the Millennium Falcon – you know, the one we're used to sort of has, like, the two sort of, I guess, prongs coming out and nothing in the middle.
Nobody listening to the podcast can see what you're doing.
I know. It's two prongs
okay.
and then in the middle.
Yeah.
This one looks to have, like, a completely connected front part. So I'm not sure how it becomes
front part.
The – well, it's a technical term.
Yes,
in the shipbuilding.
Could you dumb that down
yeah.
for the rest of us?
Yes, I'm trying. I'm trying to hit the lowest common denominator. So it's a prongy part, but this one doesn't have the prongies. It's got the solidies.
Yeah. Here's the more important question.
So the important thing is it means we will get another Lego Millennium Falcon.
That was actually the question I was going to ask you. Are you going to buy the new Lego Millennium Falcon of the clean Millennium Falcon with the full front piece thingy?
I imagine that I will see it as different enough. Because I was having this dilemma because I do have the big one.
Yes.
The $800 one. I have the one that came out.
$800 is absurd.
I only paid $600 for it. I then have the one that came out with Force Awakens, which was like a $100-something set. That's actually a pretty big of the original one.
Yeah.
And then I have the one that when the Star Wars Lego first came out in the 2000s, I have that Millennium Falcon. Yeah. So I have three of like the traditional Millennium Falcon already. So I was already on the fence of, do I really need to get another one? And it's almost as if Lego Marketing and the Star Wars company anticipated me thinking, do I really need another one just after having gotten the Force Awakens one and made it different enough that I more than likely will buy.
Number one, that would display great.
Oh, it's a great evolution.
Old and new, right.
Oh, yeah, the evolution of the Millennium Falcon.
Number two, I'm pretty convinced that Lego doesn't do demographic research. They just have hidden cameras in your house.
Yeah.
Like, this is how they decide what they're going to make next.
They've made a decent amount of money on me.
Yeah. WWHD, what would Hamilton do?
Yeah.
Or WWHB, what would Hamilton buy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's a nothing to that or a no to that question. Right. What would Hamilton buy? What wouldn't Hamilton buy is probably what the question should be asked.
So I
probably will end up getting it because.
Because you are you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Should I know Beckett, the character played by Woody Harrelson?
No. I don't think we're supposed to know anyone except Lando, Han,
Beckett.
And Chewie.
Rich, that's my question
Tobias
for you.
Tobias Beckett is his name.
Is this coming out
that's
of
not the, guy from
the extended universe?
The force, the
you're asking
the
us
Han
like
Solo
we
trilogy?
Actually pay attention
no,
to
no.
It.
The in the last Star Wars movie that came out, the Admiral – oh, Hackett. So
what?
It's not – the
Akbar.
The,
Admiral Akbar.
No.
He's
the
only Admiral in the Star Wars universe.
It's a trap.
The bad – the villain who's that
– oh, boy. Front pieces and the you-know-whats. This is
no, in the beginning where
this is what happens when you watch the trailer right before the show starts.
Why did
Shut
I ask
up.
Rich a question? Like now we're just listening.
You mean Hux?
Okay.
You mean General Hux?
Yeah, I'm blanking. I thought for some reason his last name was Beckett.
Hux Beckett.
Yeah. So that's the other thing I found interesting because
no
a lot of like a couple of things I read sort of talked about the film as a space western.
Yes.
And the trailer really seemed to be more of a heist film, like getting the team together.
I just asked,
it
is it a Western or a heist film? That's in
that.
My notes.
And so one of
well,
my
I didn't say it out loud, but it's
okay.
Right here.
But the other thing, too, is I worry the film seems to be retreading a lot of Rogue One territory.
Yeah.
You've got your team of rogues. It looks like there's going to be a robot, you know, being well, funny.
Can we not talk about the robot?
I know you're not going to like the robot. But, yeah, so I'm a little bit concerned. And even, like, some of the reviews I read felt the trailer, like, palette-wise, seemed very Rogue One-ish.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little bit concerned that Solo, again, you will like this because it will now be not one of the new movies rehashing an old movie, but a new movie rehashing one of the
new movies
that came out like 2 years ago.
It's literally, there's so much hash
that how do you distinguish it feels like it's starting to devour its own tail.
Yeah.
So I'm worried that the Solo movie is going to be a bit too close.
Yeah.
Because clearly Beckett, you know, he says, I'm putting a team together. And I'm like, oh, we're stealing something. Oh, I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah.
I wonder if all of these people except Lando are going to be alive at the end of the movie.
Maybe he'll make a Parsec run.
Well, we're going to see the Kessel run.
Oh, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah, that's what you actually meant.
What's the difference between the Kessel
and a Parsec? Parsec is a unit of distance.
He did the Kessel run in a certain number of Parsecs.
Oh, that's it.
But again, Parsec is not time. It is a unit of distance.
I'm sorry, did we ask that?
Wow.
Yeah.
From the Lego guy, that's harsh.
In Rich's defense.
I know. From the number guy, that's harsh.
In Rich's defense, it's the first definitive thing he said all program.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It is. Yes.
How about Donald Glover?
I'm looking forward. I really hope. His Lando might save the film.
He's great.
I really love Donald Glover.
I hope you're right.
And I really like the casting of him as Lando. I think that could be. He actually might be closer to kind of doing the Lando we're used to than Aaron Reich seems to be doing a Han.
Then we could do a Lando sequel movie that comes before the Solo prequel movie.
Mm.
Well, he's just running Cloud City.
Yeah, we just keep working our way
Cloud
back.
City comes after.
We just keep working our way back in time.
No, it'll be a political. It'll be a political thriller.
Star Wars and politics always goes over really well.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
the Trade Federation?
Yeah.
People still talk
people
about
the Trade
Federation.
Trade Federation.
Oh, my God. Give me more trade politics.
Well, I've told you the story of the conference.
I was at the conference.
That's right. You were at that conference.
I
that
was
right.
sitting next to you.
You were at that conference.
At that conference.
That's right.
When that comment was made.
Oh, so what do you think about that? No. So do you think about the Trade Federation as a critique of capitalism? No.
No. And that's at an academic conference where
nobody ever just
ever
says no.
answers no.
Yeah.
If somebody asks you a question, it's like a pass for 5 minutes of talking about whatever you want to talk about.
No.
No.
Okay. Well,
do you like the new ships in the space train?
The what?
The space train. I don't know what to call it. There's that thing on rails that kind of comes rolling along.
Isn't it more of a monorail?
Yeah, space train.
Yeah.
How would you build a train in space?
I don't know.
And the new CGI character on the ship?
Which one?
There's like a little character kind of sitting in a seat that's too big for it. All right, let's skip those questions.
I don't remember that.
I've got a fair or foul for you.
Oh, cool. On Solo?
Yes.
Excellent.
And it's from Mark Hamill.
Oh.
Hmm.
Quote, I don't know what anyone's complaining about.
Oh, I think I saw that.
The trailer makes you want to see the movie, and I'm dying to see it. Mm. So it worked. Fair foul. Ooh. Oh, I pity you against your favorite character, Luke.
If the trailer had that, well, we need Luke, a Solo story.
Yes.
It's fair if the trailer worked for Mark Hamill.
Yes.
It's foul, because I'm not sure the trailer did that for anyone but Mark Hamill.
Yeah, it seems like he had a slightly more enthusiastic.
Yeah, it was a very, the trailer just, you know, it's not bad, but nothing really got me excited.
Right.
And given how the movie has sort of seemed doomed from the get-go,
yeah,
like the trailer didn't really add to that feeling, but it didn't give me a sense like, oh, no, this movie's going to be
better
than everyone's thinking.
It didn't look doomed.
No.
But there was nothing on the screen that made me say, I'd like to maybe go see that.
Right.
Hey, speaking of nothing on the screen that made me really want to go see it.
Uh-huh.
You want to talk about Ant-Man and Wasp?
Yeah, but I liked Ant-Man and Wasp.
Did you really?
I did.
Okay. Now, there's a couple out there of the trailers.
Yeah.
So I think I watched the wrong one first.
I watched,
where Douglas does all the talky-talking.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I've only seen the one that they showed during the Super Bowl.
So that's the one that starts with Ant-Man in the Avengers film at the airport flashback scene.
Yeah, the conversation with him and the Wasp of like, you know, if I had asked you to come when Cap asked me, would you have come? And she's like, well, you wouldn't have gotten captured.
So I won't say. So she's sassy.
She is, that's one of the things I like about the trailer.
Yes.
Is the way, because if you read the bit at the end when Ant-Man's like, oh, you know, she has wings and blasters. You didn't have that technology for me. And he's like, oh, no, I did.
Yeah, no, that I liked.
I liked it just in and of itself. I also liked it because in the comics, if you look back at the original Avengers comics, there is idea that Wasp's powers were weaker than Ant-Man's.
Yeah.
Even though she had the wings and could fly and had her stings.
She was a woman.
Yeah, exactly. So I like that they are kind of flipping that element of the Ant-Man-Wasp relationship on its head.
Yes.
Because Ant-Man didn't – I think that he didn't get the blasters in his helmet. He had like a helmet blaster. Until the 90s or something. I think they finally, maybe even the 2000s, they finally gave him.
Why would you put a blaster in a helmet?
I don't know.
Wouldn't it like?
Well, because it's the only part of his costume that he could have like a blaster attached to. So I like the way that they kind of reversed the gender dynamic from, you know, Ant-Man and Wasp in the comics, which was always that she was the weaker and her stings really weren't worth much. Here it's like, oh, I wish I had those.
Yes.
So that was one of the things I liked.
The Wasp looks cool in action.
Mm-hmm.
Like the little wings fluttering about and running on knives.
Right. And just the general, and this carries over from the Ant-Man film as well, the general idea that she is much more ready and trained and competent as a hero than Scott Lang is. So I liked that. That was one of the things I liked about the trailer.
I think that's fair to say. Here's one of the things I don't like.
Okay.
If you're a superhero and you need to get somewhere fast, wouldn't getting on a flying ant be a very slow mode of transportation, relatively speaking?
Mm, that is a good question.
Like, how far can an ant fly, number one, before it needs a breather?
Mm. Research.
Could you look that up?
Yes.
Like, how fast does a flying ant fly?
How fast can an ant man fly if an ant man could fly fast?
If an ant man could fly ants.
Mm, there you go.
How many ants could an ant man
fly if an ant man could fly ants?
Please stop.
And how many pickled peppers would they get on the way?
I love pickled peppers.
Okay, let's not get distracted.
One for the ant and one for the man?
Yeah.
So I wonder about that.
About?
The flying ant.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, they are tiny, so they may be moving fast, but you would think they're not covering a great distance.
Right. And you never see a flying ant really do it for, like, an extended period of time.
Yeah. Well, we do see in the original Ant-Man that he does spend a lot of time, like, flying the ant to, like, on the police car and then riding the police car.
Right.
And so there is a decent amount of – what would make more sense is since he can grow giant,
right,
why can't he grow the giant ant with him and then fly on the giant ant?
It would be terrifying to everybody else.
It would be, but don't forget they have the pet ant running around in the first movie. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
that. Yeah, they got the pet ant that's running around. Yep. So there is that. Now, the other thing I found really – there are a couple other things that I noticed that I found really interesting.
Okay.
One is that the villain in the film is Ghost.
Who's Ghost?
He's an Iron Man villain, debuted in the Michelinie Leighton run around issue 213 or
who's
so.
Who's playing him?
I don't know who's playing him.
Okay.
I like it because he's an interesting parallel to – more to Scott Lang than Ant-Man because in the comics he is an anti-capitalist saboteur. Sort of trying to take down, like, you know, big business, particularly with technology angles. And if you remember Scott Lang, that was what got him in trouble, is that he was sort of taking the money from the corrupt company and whatnot. Right. So it's interesting, the idea that rather than having sort of a villain who is a dark mirror of Ant-Man, Ghost seems to be a dark mirror of Scott Lang.
Yes.
So I liked that. The other thing, I don't know if you noticed the Lawrence Fishburne cameo in the trailer. He showed – there's one scene where you just see him all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Guess who he's playing?
Who?
Bill Foster.
Really?
The man who would become Black Goliath. Yes.
Yes.
Because I thought – because they show him right after the cut of Ghost. I'm like, is Fishburne playing Ghost? And so I looked up the cast list and said, no, he's playing Bill Foster. I'm like, oh, are we gonna get Black Goliath?
Right, played by Fishburne would be sort of Michael Douglas, would be Hank Pym's
exactly.
Contemporary.
He's definitely a contemporary with Hank Pym.
A guy that's been doing it for a while.
That would be and apparently I read somewhere that Fishburne has been actively campaigning to be in a Marvel movie. Like, he's been contacting Marvel saying, because he plays Perry White in the DC universe.
All he got was Black Goliath.
Well, but I find he described himself as more of a Marvel fan.
Yeah.
And so even though he's in the DC universe, which there's a lot of crossover because Brolin, who plays Cable in Deadpool, is Thanos in the Avengers movie.
I find that very disconcerting.
It's a little weird.
I was
going
to talk about that actually with science question.
Yes.
We watch Hank Pym shrink an entire building.
Yes.
And wheel it off like a suitcase.
Correct.
How does that work?
It doesn't.
Pym particles.
So it shrinks everything in the building.
Well, I'm sure it was evacuated at the time.
Like computers?
I guess so.
And you can shrink a computer and it still works?
I guess so.
Toilets?
Yeah.
Like the water that was in the plumbing?
Mm-hmm. Well, that might be where, but it does feel like it'd have to be disconnected from the plumbing unless it has its own independent plumbing system.
Yeah. I thought
you were going to ask me a weight thing. Like, how is he just trolling along, like, a building?
I mean, where does the handle come from? Is there a giant handle on
the handle
building?
Is clearly on top of
one
the building.
One can only assume he built it into the building.
Yeah.
So that he could do this very thing
exactly.
with it.
And there's wheels somewhere on the building, too.
Yeah, it's probably better. Yeah, it's better not to think about it, because
I think Ant-Man is a film.
It's a clever bit that I'm not sure entirely makes sense when you break it down.
I think, but that's the whole point of Ant-Man and the Wasp. Is that we shouldn't think about it too much.
Yeah.
But because when she throws the embiggened Pez dispenser.
Yes.
That's good stuff.
It is. I'm a little bit concerned because obviously they're
you don't like Pez.
I like Pez. I'm a little bit concerned that, you know, we had the Thomas the Tank Engine thing in the first movie.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit concerned. Are they going to go like full Michael Bay with the product placement of like things that are going to grow like the Hello Kitty? Like, I'm hoping not.
But here's the thing. That's my next point, is the film looks like fun, but it doesn't look like a lot of new.
No, that's probably true.
Like Beyond the Wasp?
Yeah.
Like, there doesn't seem to be a lot of new here.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting because it's coming out after Avengers Infinity War. And yet it feels like the movie is probably set before it.
Yeah.
How do we know?
Well, because both Ant-Man and Wasp are in Avengers Infinity War, I think. Because what, this will be – well, no, I guess no, because Evangeline Lilly, that plays Wasp, says she's in Avengers 4, which is the movie after Infinity War.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not in Infinity – but it would seem weird to have this going on while Thanos is blowing stuff up. I'm imagining that this film is either going to be a flashback or like one of the post-credit scenes is going to be like getting them – because we don't see Ant-Man, Wasp, or Hawkeye – in any of the Infinity War stuff that we've seen, which clearly means they're on some like super special secret stealth mission that is going to be the key to defeating Thanos.
Or that they're such lame superheroes that they could contribute nothing to defeating Thanos.
I like my version.
I'm sure you do.
Because Hawkeye's probably making some super special anti-Thanos arrow.
Yes. Yes.
Or he's with his family trying to, you know.
Well, there's that too. I am concerned that his family's going to get killed.
You're on fire because you're always leading me to my next question, and that is, are you afraid that Ant-Man might get lost in the shuffle? Because you've got two huge Marvel films coming.
It is.
Next week we're going to do Black Panther.
Oh, yeah, we got Black Panther.
Which is, by all accounts, pretty terrific and a real breakthrough.
Yeah.
In lots of ways for filmmaking and superhero filmmaking. Right. Then you've got the Infinity War Part 1, or whatever we're calling it, Avengers 3.
Avengers Infinity War is the actual title.
That's pretty close then, if you mix them all together and drop the 3. Are you afraid that in the aftermath of two such massive events that Ant-Man and the Wasp might get kind of like lost in the shuffle?
It could. At the same time, I feel like it could be like sort of a nice sorbet to cleanse the palate from the giant Avengers Infinity War blockbuster
The best you can do for the film is palate cleanser.
It's a palate cleanser.
It's a good one.
So your best case scenario is sorbet.
Yeah.
Yes, it is the sorbet. Yeah,
if this could just be sorbet.
Yes.
Like, not an actual course in the meal. Not even sherbet,
you know?
You mean sherbet.
How do you say it? Like some people say sherbet and some people say sherbet.
Yeah, because it's sherbet.
It's spelled sherbet, but it said sherbet.
Yeah, no, you say sherbet. I say sherbet.
How fast can an ant fly?
Did we figure that out?
They said, like, well, I got a bunch of different answers, but it was around 15 to 20 miles an hour.
It's not bad, but, you know, you could get in a car and get there much quicker.
Well, but you think relative size of an ant. That means that ant is booking it.
Yeah, but it's still getting anywhere.
It appears to be booking it from the perspective of the ant,
right?
But it's still only 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, but it's
and in the world in which he's fighting real-sized baddies, it turns out it's very slow. Yeah.
It's the same thing, like, you know, ants can lift more than the body weight, but it's still just a leaf.
Ghost's ability is to turn intangible. Like, he that's why he's a ghost. He's not like a shrinker, so it'll be interesting to see how that.
He's not a shrinky dink.
Right. Shrinky dink.
I got a fair or foul.
We really should do more shrinky dink jokes in the Ant-Man universe.
Before we move on, fair or foul from the Washington Post.
Okay.
Quote: so don't expect Ant-Man and the Wasp to be too huge. Well, they'll get huge and small in the movie because you got to make those jokes.
Yeah,
right?
That's.
But be ready for a nice break from the intense superhero drama of Marvel Studios' next two offerings. When you sit down for some laughs with Rudd and company on July 6th.
Yeah, that feels fair.
Feels like sorbet.
Yeah.
Could you look up pronunciation of sherbet?
Yeah. Now, I've got one more interesting tidbit.
Yes, give us a... Oh, it's a tidbit.
So
like,
apparently,
a tidbit's tiny.
Michael Douglas. Because apparently the original Wasp is going to be in this movie.
Okay.
Janet Van Dyne, Hope's mother.
Yes.
He apparently campaigned for Catherine Zeta-Jones to play the part, his actual wife.
Yes.
And actually, Evangeline Lilly campaigned for Michelle Pfeiffer, who is the person that actually got the role.
Yes. Interesting. That's a tidbit. I don't know what to do with it exactly.
The other thing is that Peyton Reed, who's the director on this and the previous Ant-Man, you know, the previous film was pretty obviously a heist film.
Yes.
He said that this one will have a very, and a quote, entirely different genre template.
They need something new.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if it's going to be like a – because they're obviously on the run from the government. I wonder if it's going to be kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde with superpowers.
Bonnie and Clyde would be awesome. Like Bonnie and Clyde would be first rate.
Because clearly there's an element of where they're going to be on the run from the law and then obviously the ghost storyline. So I'll be curious to see how that goes. But, yeah, I'm excited for Ant-Man and the Wasp, more so than Solo.
Pronunciation is sherbet. Sherbet. Like sherbet. Hermit. Like hermit.
Herbert. Sherbet.
Right. Specifically, not like sherbet.
No, that's what he said, sherbet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's B-I-T.
Yeah, I'm keeping track of the conversation.
Okay.
Quick question.
Sherbet.
Favorite flavor of sherbet?
Orange.
Orange.
Any kind of fruit flavor really always good.
Yeah, like a raspberry sherbet, though, is really good, too.
I don't know if I've had anything but orange sherbet.
I mean, lemon.
Sherbet.
There's a lemon lime.
Fair enough. I just called it sherbet.
It's been 40-plus years.
Yeah. I can't believe you've given it up so easily. You clearly want to talk about Deadpool, because this is usually something that you would argue about.
Fight. Yeah, I'm trying to grow as a person.
May not argue, yeah.
Also, screw you, it's sherbet.
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2.
Woohoo!
Which I should point out.
Yes.
you know why this is significant to me.
Deadpool 2 is significant to you because...
It has a number in the name?
It's hurtful. When does Deadpool 2 come out?
Your birthday.
There you go.
That's right.
Yes, Deadpool is a birthday present to me.
Yeah, from Hollywood.
From Hollywood.
I wonder what they're going to put out on my birthday.
And what did they get me? They got me Cable.
Cable has never been one of my favorite X-Men characters.
I think about Deadpool 2 and Deadpool and Cable. I'm like, who knew that we get so much mileage out of Rob Liefeld creations?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Cable kind of showed up with the big gun kind of craze.
He's like the embodiment of. The big gun craze.
Yeah. Never cared for that
pouches,
era.
Pouches, pockets.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's kind of everything that was wrong with that era of X-Men. Like, he's the big gun era. He is ridiculously convoluted in his origin.
Time travel origins.
He's the daughter of Cyclops and Madeline Pryor, who's a clone of Green Jay. Gray.
He's a daughter?
Did I say daughter?
Clone. You did.
He's a clone. That's a
easy to mistake the two.
I was going to say, I was following you until I found out that he was a girl all this time.
He's the child.
I was like, I could have believed it, though. Yeah. Like, he was a daughter.
I was probably
then
getting
got
him mixed up with Rachel Summers. He's the child of Scott Summers and Madeline Pryor, who was herself a clone of Jean Grey.
Yes.
Who got infected with the techno-organic virus as a baby, and so they had to send him to the future. To hopefully keep him alive.
To be raised by a bunch of weirdos.
By the Ascani, I think is what the name of that cult was. And then he comes back to the past as Cable.
And he soon has followed by Bishop, who, by the way, was not an upgrade.
Yeah, that's right. They were both right about the same time because that was that era.
Yeah.
I think he might have actually been before Bishop.
Are you sure? I would have said.
Or right around the same time. Well, because he would have been.
I think Bishop arrives like 92, 93.
But when you think about it, the relaunch of Uncanny X-Men happened the same time as X-Men number one.
92-ish.
And happened around the same time as the New Mutants reboot. They're all part. And the X-Factor by Peter David.
See, now I
that
remember.
That was all.
I feel like
in that era,
Cable was a couple years earlier.
No, they're all. No, it's definitely not. They're almost within a year of each other, I think.
Interesting. Could you get that Rich Force debut?
Oh, wait, maybe you're right. No, actually, maybe you're right. Was it X-Force that debuted?
Yes.
Which would have been after New Mutants 100, and he did debut in New Mutants 87. So you're right. It was like a year and a half
before. So he was like, and then Bishop shows up.
And then Bishop shows up. You're right.
And
I think that is
Fitzroy,
right.
And then it just goes.
Oh, then it's a hot mess. That's right. It wasn't New Mutants that debuted with X-Men 1. And all those guys, it was X-Force.
Right.
New Mutants ended around that time.
All right, so Bishop was 1991.
That was close, within a year.
So then Cable was probably 90?
Yeah, let me just check.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, he's almost... 86? No, he's debuts in New Mutants at 86. He is not 1986.
Character first appeared as a newborn infant in Uncanny X-Men.
We don't care about the newborn infant. We care about actual Cable.
No, we want to know Cable.
Okay.
New Mutants 87. He debuted in New Mutants 87.
Take this serious.
For God's sake, man. I don't care about when he was born as a
baby.
Look,
I Googled when he first appeared. That's what came up.
That's his first appearance as a baby. Which was X-Men 201, I think.
The New Mutants 87, March 1990.
Yeah, so about a year.
1990, yeah. Okay, so... But still, I was technically, I got a comic book thing right.
That's right. I was getting his debut in New Mutants mixed up with the birth of X-Force.
Which just makes me happy of... You know, about something.
Yes.
So maybe we should talk about the trailer?
Yes.
Which trailer are we talking about?
Well, do you want the official plot description?
Sure.
After surviving a near-fatal bovine attack, a disfigured cafeteria chef, Wade Wilson, struggles to fulfill his dream of becoming Mayberry's hottest bartender while also learning to cope with his lost sense of taste. Searching to regain his spice for life as well as a flux capacitor, Wade must battle ninjas, the Yakuza, and a pack of sexually aggressive canines as he journeys around the world to discover the importance of family, friendship, and flavor, finding a new taste for adventure, and earning the coveted coffee mug title of World's Best Lover.
That's nice. You know what? You know what adventure tastes like? Orange sherbet.
Yeah, sherbet.
So that sounds almost exactly right. And if I can tell Vicky that Mayberry's involved, I might get her to this film.
Yeah.
She loves herself some Mayberry.
Did she ever see the first Deadpool?
She did not.
It is not a Vicky movie
in any way.
Yeah.
I don't think number two is going to be
Number two is going to be any different.
Given the trailer, I am confident that you are both
Well, because not, I mean, not only, obviously we have, we talked about Cable's in it.
Yeah.
Domino shows up, another Liefeld creation.
Yes.
And then there's been a lot of attention paid to the shot of, like, Deadpool and what looks to be a team of people in the aircraft carrier.
I had some questions about that, in fact.
Okay, do you want to go ahead and ask
questions? Well, like, who's part of that? So there's Terry Crews.
Yes.
Is standing up there.
Yes.
And I've seen lots of speculation, none of whom are, like, particularly exciting.
Well, the one that's the most obvious one would be G.W. Bridge.
Right.
Who was a member of Cable Six-Pack,
right,
along with Domino and later on. That's what they were called.
I know.
Wow. But
Six-Pack is a terrible name.
Well, here's
for
the thing.
Any team.
They were supposed to be called the Wild Pack.
Yeah.
But Silver Sable already had a team called the Wild Pack in the Marvel Universe. So,
and they couldn't just drop the pack.
They had to change it.
Right. The
to
point
six
is,
pack
is never a good name.
Well, like
power
the Wat Pack.
Pack. Like, yeah, there's never
oh,
been
God,
a good
power
superhero.
Pack. Oh, I hated
pack.
Power Pack.
You need, so I've also seen Garrison Kane or Hammer or Bedlam.
Yeah. Well, there's been one person confirmed that I know we all definitely want in this movie.
Yeah.
Because one of the persons has been confirmed as Shatterstar.
Well, I have Shatterstar listed here. You can see the face gear.
Yes.
It just
yes. And apparently the guy that does the voice of Colossus
in
an interview this week confirmed that that is actually Shatterstar.
Interesting.
Because what we really needed in this movie, let alone the convolutions of Cable.
Yeah.
Is Shatterstar.
Yeah, like a Mojoverse.
Mojoverse,
kind of,
maybe the daughter of Longshot and Dazzler. We're not really
daughter?
Sure. Sorry, son. I am really struggling
How?
With the gender today.
Yeah, you are gender confused.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for Women's History Month. That must be what it is.
There you go. You're ramping it up. So I've also heard suggested that Richter might be up there.
I don't know. Like, I didn't. I haven't paused it long enough to really look at it. I mean, it would make sense because in Peter David's X Factor, Richter
and
Shatterstar were a couple.
A couple. And so now all of a sudden, I start wondering if there's so much packed into this movie.
Yes.
One of the nice things about Deadpool,
you're concerned
the first time through,
about how packed the six-pack is.
That's right. You don't want your six-pack to be overpacked.
No. An overpacked six-pack, well, that's asking
no.
for trouble.
No. You need to adjust your workout if that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So who are you missing from X-Force is my big question.
From X-Force?
Well, if they're all standing up there and we think it might be Shatterstar mm-hmm. or Richter and G.W. Bridge and
oh, well.
Cable and Deadpool, like, who do you want? For me, the answer's easy. Feral.
Oh, God. I would say Warpath. Because, God, Feral was terrible.
She's one of the worst characters.
One of the worst characters.
Now, is she related to Tigra?
No.
Okay. Boy, she was very Liefeldian, too.
Oh, she was. Yeah. Didn't she have, like, there was a sister that was introduced in the series?
Yes.
That well, I can't
yeah.
remember her name.
Like a good sister. Or bad sister. Was Feral good or bad?
She was good and bad. I think she eventually went bad.
Yeah.
I might have stopped reading X-Force after a certain point.
You would have been a good choice.
But, yeah, you could bring in Warpath, except they've got him on The Gifted.
Which
is much better.
Actually, a very good Warpath.
He's Thunderbird there, which is much better. I'm trying to think who else. Oh, Siren was a member of X-Force for a while.
Like, I would love to see Siren. I think that'd be. In fact, could we see a Banshee and Siren film?
No.
Why not?
No one would go see it.
Ugh, it'd be so good.
I mean, we had Banshee in X-Men First Class.
They could go to Banshee's castle.
And Siren was in X-Men 2.
I'm just saying.
Or
it'd be nice.
You know, the little redheaded girl that screams when all the soldiers are coming in.
Yeah. So you haven't called out Cannonball or Sunspot yet?
Oh, I totally forgot that they were on X-Force. That's right.
Yeah. They were kind of the holdovers.
Yeah,
the new
Cannonball,
mutants.
Sunspot, Siren a little bit.
Yeah.
Thunderbird.
Yep.
Were all kind of like, they were in the New Mutants title, and then you had all the new people that Liefeld introduced.
Do you want to see Sunspot, or do you want to see Cannonball?
Well, they're going to be in the New Mutants movie.
Oh, that's true. So we should cross them off.
Yeah. So they, I mean, they're in New Mutants. Like, we clearly see a Cannonball and a Sunspot.
I will say this.
So, yeah.
The Deadpool 2 trailer was exactly what you would expect it to be.
Oh, 100%.
You know, it starts serious. It can't maintain it.
It tells us
it's
nothing about the movie
incredibly
except it was
foul. It shows what I imagine your childhood to have been like, is he takes the two dolls and makes them battle with each other in the diorama.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. But
I appreciate that you say that's my childhood.
I didn't say your childhood's ended.
Yeah, or not my adulthood.
And I loved Regeneration Powers Activate.
That was good.
That was
good.
Like
nice,
little Wonder Twins.
Yeah, that's not how your powers work.
And then essentially,
I do love Cable as straight man. I, yes. That's the way. I mean, because
I think that's the only time you liked him was when he's against
that
Deadpool.
That could totally well because the work. Like the there's the Cable and Deadpool series that Marvel ran for quite a while.
Yeah.
By Fabian Nicieza, where basically it was that. It was Cable as straight man to Deadpool, yeah. And it was really popular and you know is still sort of well loved to this day. And I think that's a way that Cable can work.
Maybe
is to play him as straight man because he is kind of ridiculous.
I could give you credit for that. And then, of course, it just devolves into fists flying and guns firing.
The trailer, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm sure the movie, too.
The one thing that's odd is we don't see Kalat. We see everyone in the film. Deadpool, yes. Cable, Domino, Teenage Negasonic Warhead,
yeah.
Mohinder the cab driver. We don't see Colossus.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which is kind of surprising. We know he's in the movie.
Well, Colossus always seems uncomfortable to be around Deadpool, so maybe that's why.
That is the best version of Colossus is Deadpool's Colossus.
I don't think, well.
As just like.
It turns out Colossus is hard to do, apparently, but this is like so good.
Well, that's right. He's hard to do because he's really kind of ridiculous.
Yes.
And so playing him as kind of the earnest superhero, which is what he kind of is, particularly early on in the comics, against Deadpool was one of the best things.
I agree. Agreed.
Whereas, you know, playing him as like the straightforward superhero as the X-Men movies did originally, he comes off as kind of bland. So it was a really good use of Colossus.
Speaking of things we wished people would do better with.
What?
We haven't talked about Jurassic Park yet.
We have not. Jurassic World.
Oh.
Fallen Kingdom.
Jeez, I got the title wrong in my notes.
Yeah, it's Jurassic World.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with the other Jurassic
Park. I have to say, I love Chris Pratt, but like the other ones, like Ant-Man and the Wasp was somewhat engaging. But the other three we've talked about... Mm-hmm. Like, okay, and I'll admit, I love Chris Pratt, but I've never been a big Jurassic franchise guy.
I liked the first Jurassic Park.
I liked it, but it's never, like, I never saw it as a franchise that I really loved.
Yeah.
There's not a lot there.
And I think this is your point.
Applies to the trailer.
I think this is your point.
Yeah.
There seems to be a lot of repetition in this one as well.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, Pratt doing the whole, you know, stopping blue, dinosaurs attacking the gyrosphere.
Yeah.
There's a pterodon that lifts someone up.
Yeah.
So
dinosaur
it feels like
comes in at the last minute.
It feels like a bit too much of a retread of Jurassic World.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that the scene with him and, like, baby blue dinosaur.
Yeah.
You saw baby blue is so adorable.
No, I don't find it adorable.
They need stuffed baby blues.
And do we need to hear Goldblum say again, life cannot be contained,
yes.
Life breaks free, life finds...
Because again, we
Why
need
Why are
that.
We saving dinosaurs?
Well, because we created them, and thus we have a responsibility to them.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
If we create life, we have a responsibility to that life.
Why?
Because we created it, and we shouldn't have.
But then they come to adulthood, and you let them take care of themselves on their little island.
But their island is blowing up.
Welcome to evolution.
Bingo.
Yeah, but these guys clearly don't believe in letting evolution take its natural course, or else they wouldn't have created dinosaurs.
Yeah,
Maybe they should learn from their mistake.
I am not thrilled.
Yeah, I enjoyed Jurassic World.
I did, too. I thought it was a perfectly fun film.
Perfectly fun film. I will say I do like that this one looks like they've gotten rid of the kids.
It was no Transformers.
Because I hated the kids.
Get rid of the kids.
But there could not be. I don't know what the one sidekick character with the glasses that in the trailer he's like, am I dead? And Chris Pratt says, not yet. And every time he shows up in the trailer, I'm like, you are dying somewhere in this movie.
We can only hope.
Like, you are clearly dead. Not going to survive. Your purpose in this film is to die.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I don't, you know, it seems like there's a whole, we've got to rescue the dinosaurs from the island.
Yeah.
And then a whole, we're going to experiment and create new dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Because there's that scene, the trailer opened with, like, the little girl sleeping in her bed and the dinosaur coming in. And I'm like, okay, clearly this is, like, a dream or a nightmare that she's having. But then there's a scene later in the trailer where she's in the bed and Chris Pratt is there and Blue's attacking the dinosaur. I'm like, okay, so that's actually happening in this movie.
Yeah, no.
So it seems like there's a lot going on.
And then on top of that, here's a fair foul for you from The Verge.
Oh.
There's a new director. In the director's chair this time around. J.A. Bayona?
There is. I thought it was Colin Trevorrow again.
It says Bayona here.
No, maybe he just worked on the script. Or
the Verge says, quote, while Spielberg established... he's talking about the classic formula that Spielberg established.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, the promise of Bayona joining the franchise was that he would bring a much darker atmosphere. And judging from the nightmarish imagery in the trailer, he appears to have done just that.
Yeah, no, that is foul.
And do we need a darker Jurassic World?
Apparently.
I mean, it's different,
it feels
so
no darker
whatever.
Than any other Jurassic World. or Jurassic movie. It feels exactly the same
as
all the unless there's just like some massive slaughter of dinosaurs and people.
Maybe like the ending is just them all dying in the lava, you know?
Yeah, it seems no darker than anything else. Than any of the Jurassic movies.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I did like one person. I guess there's the scene in the trailer where like Chris Pratt is running and he gets kind of engulfed in the ash.
Yeah.
And there's like one person point is like, that ash would be millions of degrees. He would be like
millions
dead.
Of degrees?
Yeah, I'm exaggerating.
It'd be warm.
It would have been enough that he would be dead.
Maybe they're setting up the next one, which will be like Jurassic World Pompeii Kingdom.
Or it'll be Jurassic World Kingdom Come.
Either works. I'd like to see like an archaeologist.
Yeah.
Ooh, it could be Jurassic World Kingdom Come. She could come and excavate.
Or Jurassic World Kingdom Come could be like a Jurassic World DC mashup.
Are there songs?
From the Kingdom Come.
Oh, I know the Kingdom Come.
I said mashup, not musical.
I want a musical.
Yeah, I really want a musical. That one's going to be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. All right. So we've got 5 minutes.
Do we have 5 minutes?
I'm at 50 minutes on the nose.
Okay.
And we got two to talk about.
Still unclear to me how long the show is supposed to be.
But we really we need to be done at like 56
okay.
or so. And we got two movies to cover.
Yeah.
We got to cover them.
Okay.
We got Skyscraper. Yes. We got Mission Impossible Fallout. Which do you want to start with?
I don't have much on either. I have more on Skyscraper just because.
I have one line.
On Skyscraper?
On Mission Impossible.
I have one line on Mission Impossible as well, which is, can you believe this franchise is still going? And Tom Cruise never ages.
I wrote, hits all the standards.
Yeah, it looks like a very much a sixth Mission Impossible film.
And I will say, if you like the Mission Impossibles,
I might very well go see it. Because in general, like, I like a capery film, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. The Mission Impossible franchise has had, like, it's never been, like, great.
Yeah.
But it's been, kind of solidly entertaining.
Predictable.
Yeah. If you watch any film in the series,
no, it is no Transformers. I would agree with you on that.
You know, but I disagree that Tom Cruise never ages.
He never ages.
Because it seems like he's losing his grip and falling a lot in this trailer.
He's probably got the arthritis.
Yeah, that makes him older.
Or some serious carpal tunnel.
Yeah. Because he's done a lot of desk work.
A lot of
desk work.
Like, well, in between. Yeah. Right. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to transcribe this document.
In triplicate.
That's Mission Possible.
When he's 75, that's what he'll be doing.
mission.
He's sitting at a desk. I mean, he says, "I'm done."
Mission,
done.
Mission Impossible 75.
Yeah.
Don't go to the bathroom every hour.
Your mission.
Should you choose to accept it?
Get through a day without depends.
Get through a day. Yes. Get through a day without soiling yourself.
Oh man.
No, actually, you know what that is?
Always hit a peak when Tom Cruise is soiling himself.
No, you know what that is?
Then you know you've hit peak mashed up.
That's Mission Dependable.
Oh, that's good. I like it.
A lot of product placement in that one.
Oh, that is good stuff.
Yep.
Mission Dependable. Oh. Why are not the Depends people contacting us for marketing ideas?
Yeah. He'd ride that little wall chair up the stairs and down. Do they sell to old folks?
Oh, no, the
like, what do you call it?
The
like
stair elevator thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The stair lift or the – I can't remember what they –
It's like a wall chair. Like it's on the chair and it's on a
Yeah, it goes up diagonally or whatever.
Mission Impossible 76. Walk up the stairs unassisted.
You have the life alert button.
Yeah. No, he's trying to
– Mission Impossible 75. Fall and get up.
I've fallen. And I can get up.
And I can get up on my own.
There's a trailer. That's about the end zone, you know?
Oh man, we should have allotted more time to Mission Impossible. Like, I feel like
Mission Impossible,
Mission Dependable makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Oh, it
actually.
Does. It does. Mission Dependable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things I'm really upset with about Skyscraper, now that we just made fun of senior citizens.
Yes. No, don't. Should we stop?
Well, no, because my whole impression of the film, because like right before I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
I think I saw an article on Facebook or something about Shape of Water, among other films, of how Hollywood loves movies about disabled persons, but not disabled actors.
Right.
Because you've got, I think it was talking about like Sally Hawkins in Shape of Water, who plays a mute character, but she herself, the actress, is not mute.
Or Eddie Redmayne playing. What's his name? Hawking.
Yeah. Well, and what's his face in My Left Foot? Daniel Day-Lewis.
We got a lot of what's his faces showing up.
And so the moment I saw Skyscraper and that he's like missing a leg and got an artificial leg, like all I could think of was like, oh, that doesn't prove that article's point at all.
No, not at all.
And then I did like the article I think I mentioned that said something, if this movie was made like in the 90s, it would star Bruce Willis.
This looks like Die Hard, really.
It does.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, when I first saw it, I was like, before they showed like the layers, I was like, are they remaking Die Hard already?
Well, it's Die Hard, but in China.
Okay.
So that it appeals to the global audience.
And a higher budget.
Yes.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, is that I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, so The Rock has Skyscraper coming out.
Yes.
He's also got Rampage coming out.
Yes.
Jumanji movie just came out.
Yes.
And there was Baywatch before that in the summer. Plus, he's got the TV show that's on HBO. Like, does that man sleep?
He still shows up for wrestling every once in a while.
He is just going at a pace that is amazing.
It is amazing. But The Rock is, I mean, come on. If he's in a film, it kind of makes you want to go see it.
It does. Well, right?
He's riding that sort of, high now with all the movie possible.
Oh, yeah. Well, but like, because I see the trailer for Rampage, and I'm like, that looks stupid. I'm totally going to go see that movie because it looks,
Skyscraper looks terrible.
Oh, it looks it looks dumber than Rampage, which I was like, how did you do a dumber movie than Rampage?
When The Rock runs along that scaffolding and jumps like 60 feet across when he's like 3 miles up in the air or whatever.
Yeah. All I could think about that, and this probably says something about me, is all I could think about is like he could probably do that better if he had those blades replacing his legs.
Oh, like Oscar Pistorius?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's probably not the comparison I would go with.
No. Yeah.
Like other track athletes?
Yeah. Like that did not get jailed for murder. Convicted of murder. So, yeah. But I'm like, that would be a much easier leap if he had the blades.
I think my favorite point, though, wasn't all the action stuff. Mm-hmm. It was when he's presenting to it's Lau, right, from Batman?
Oh, I don't remember seeing it.
That
owns the hotel, I think, or whatever this building is. And the associate says, this is just a wannabe cop or whatever. And then he does this, like, really sophisticated analysis of all the problems that literally a third grader could have written.
Yeah, he's like it's
but
obviously.
Maybe I'm just a rent-a-cop. Not really convincing.
Yeah, I did not watch anymore. I saw the Skyscraper trailer during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I did not watch it again for the show. Because I was like, I think I understand what this movie is.
But the reality is probably we're all going to go see that movie.
Did you see the poster?
Yeah. I'm just like, it looks like,
The Rock.
Yeah exactly. Like I don't know. He is got to be
something.
Possibly the most kind of charismatic actor we've got right now. Like, he.
For that genre in particular?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he kills it.
Yeah. Like, he just, he knows what his strengths are right now.
He knows who he is.
Yeah.
And he does what he should.
And he does what he does, and people enjoy it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But have you seen the poster, the one where he's, like, mid-jump from that crane to the skyscraper?
I would assume there's no other poster. Like, that's the
probably.
Only poster.
But no, because
what other moment are you going to put on a poster?
Yeah. Good point. But there's, seeing on Facebook, there's another one. Someone's, like, Photoshop for calculations about it because someone did like the calculations based on like his trajectory and like how far and they found out that there's no way he can make the building.
Bobby has done this stuff
I did
forever.
Not need to calculate that like just watching the trailer I'm like there is no way that he makes that leap like that is not physically possible. That man is dead.
Well, back a couple years ago when Bobby had to do science research projects he would do physics and superheroes and he would look at
He did whether or not Tony Stark could survive the thing against the wall.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure he could not, according to Bobby.
It turns out a lot of it is make-believe.
Yes.
I hate to shatter your illusion.
Yeah.
But a lot of it wouldn't happen.
I didn't have to do the
next
thing to
tell me
like,
Santa's not real.
I'm just looking at The Rock jumping off of that girder.
Young listeners.
And the arc. I just look at the Rock jumping off of that girder and the arc he's going at. Yeah. I'm like, no, he's not making that leap.
It's exactly like the Grinch when he's at the top of the mountain and the sled's going over the other side. There comes a point where there's no way. Like, the sled would be gone. But somehow he pulls it back.
You're a mean one, Mr. Rock. I'm now thinking of the Grinch who stole skyscrapers.
No, I like it. You really are.
No, the skyscraper that stole Christmas.
Yeah. I see, now we're getting to our musical.
Yes, and unfortunately, we are
well
dead
out of
time.
That's
okay.
I
thought we were going to wrap it, and then Richard went to the poster, and then we started talking physics. And
we'll just add this to the docket of musicals we are creating.
That's right. Yes. I like it.
The Grinch Who Stole Skyscraper.
It could work.
It could.
Until next week, or so.